Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Welcome. Welcome to the Living Savior Church. Praise the Lord. Shake somebody's hand. Two or three somebody's hands. Praise the Lord. Goodness gracious alive. Thank you, Jesus. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Praise the Lord for all of you that are here today. I want to praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for people being here. I've met a few people today that this is their first time. So if you are a first timer, hold up your hand, please. All right, we got some here, we got some back there, some over here. Praise the Lord. Welcome, welcome, welcome. First time welcomer, praise the Lord. Now, this couple back here that said they were first-timers, when I met them, I asked him where they were from, and he said they were from Atlanta. And I said, well, what did you come up here for? And he said, we come to see you. I thought, wow, that already make my head swell, you know. They drove all the way from Atlanta. In fact, he said his wife goes to bed listening to me every night. Yes, wow. And I knew that he was telling the truth because I started to tell a few of the testimonies. She said, I already know that one. I already know that. What a problem to have, huh? All the testimonies we have here. And in fact, another man that walked in, one of my good buddies, Brother Franz, up here on the front row, he called me this week and had a prayer request. And of course, we prayed, stood on the word. And of course, when he walked in, he said, you know what? I said, what's that, Franz? He said, I really think you know God. Why do you think that he thinks I know God? We get our prayers answered. Every time. But the thing about it is, if we're not getting our prayers answered every time, there's a problem. We need to find out what that problem is. You know, I mean, like I was explaining to them a while ago, just like Jenna, I said, when I started praying for little Jenna, I said, most people, unfortunately, will give up after a while. You know, after I know lots of people that if you pray one time, you don't have your answer. The time you get outside, it didn't work. Right. I mean, I see that all the time. I see people saying, well, I came 6 months ago and you prayed for me and it's still not working. But he said, I knew it wasn't, because when I walked out, I was still hurting. So I knew it wasn't going to work. You don't get prayers answered like that, do you? You really don't. So you have to learn to stand on God's word and believe him. And if you do, then he'll do what he said every time. And so, but I really was humbled when this couple back here from Atlanta, whenever they told me they were from Atlanta, when I asked them, well, what did you come to Dallas for? He said, we drove all the way up here just to come to church here today. And I thought, wow. Is that what you said, brother? That's what you said. Okay, so I wasn't stretching that at all. So I just stand in awe of what God has done through this little church.
Amen.
You know, here a couple of years ago, I was over talking to another pastor that's in the local area, and he's got a pretty big church. I don't know how many, but it's pretty big. And he's been on TV for a long time. So he asked me how big was my church. I told him, I said, well, I said, anywhere from 50 to 150 on a given Sunday. And he said, well, do you have a mail out? And I said, yes. And he said, how many do you mail out? And I said, well, we have a tape of the month. And at that time, we were mailing out about 5,000 every month on the tape of the month. And he said, wow, he said, that's not a little church. He said, you got 5,000 people in your church. I said, well, I guess I didn't really think about it like that. So he said, do you get any answers to prayer? I said, oh, yes. I said, you know, we get lots of answers to prayer. He said, well, tell me a few of them. So I started telling him about some of the miracles and some of the things we've seen the Lord do and some of the answers to prayer. And he said, well, he said, I can tell you are attached to God. So he said, I want in on your blessing. I said, well, okay. I didn't know what he meant. Picked up the phone, called somebody and told him something. And then he said, just a few minutes. And I said, well, I got to go. He said, not yet. Just wait till I get here. I said, okay. So I waited a few minutes and somebody come down there. And he reached over and he looked at this and they handed him a check. And he looked at me and he handed me this check. And he said, didn't you say that you send out a 5,000 tape of the month every month? I said, yes. He said, I want to be a part of that. And so he handed me that. I looked at it and it was a check for $5,000. I thought, wow. You know, you never know what God's going to do. Well, a couple, two or three years have gone by, And somebody asked me the other day, you know, how big a church do you have? And I said, well, we're still running around 100, 75 to 150. It all depends on the weekend and everything. But I said, people, as a rule, so many of our people come from a long ways off, and some of them drive a long way to come to church. And in fact, I told them that I just had a couple come from Sweden to bring their two children to be prayed for at the last healing school. I mean, that's a long, long ways to bring two children and a mother and a father just to be prayed for from Sweden. But they did. But we prayed believing that those children are going to be healed. So we've seen awesome things. So anyway, somebody else was asking me, says, how big is your church? When I told them, they said, what's your mail out? And I said, well, a man asked me that question here 2 or 3 years ago, or four, whatever it was. And I told him I had the same size church, but we had about 5,000 people on our mail out. And he said, well, has your mail out increased? And I said, yes. I said, in our database today, we have a little over 12,500. So that's how we send out. We send out, mail out, tape of the month, and people that buy, not buy it, they don't buy nothing here. You get everything free. They do donate, those people do donate to help us out. But our mail out is now running around 12 to 15,000 a week. That's what we're mailing out. So, that's a lot of stuff. You know that? Amen. 12 to 15,000 CDs and DVDs every week is going out. Now, I realized I had a phone call. A guy called me personally this last week, and he said, Pastor, I want to talk to you about something. And I said, yes, sir. And he said, you say in your teachings that God is in charge of everything. And I said, yes, sir, I don't have a problem with that. He said, well, I do. He said, I don't think God's in control of everything. He said, I think things happen because we live in a fallen world. And so he said, you don't really think God is the one behind everything that's going on. And I said, well, I do. I believe with all my heart that God is in total control, that nothing happens except he says it. He doesn't allow anything. He orchestrates it. I mean, when you stop and think about when you go to the Word and you realize that God is in total control. In fact, I was talking to another lady back there just a while ago, and as we were talking about God being in control of things, she said, well, one thing I'll have to say about King David, said this is something I really don't understand, but she said, King David committed adultery with Bathsheba, and then she got pregnant, and then God let her carry that baby a full 9 months, and then the baby was born. And then God struck the child with an illness, and it died in a week. She said, why in the world did God let that happen like that? All I can say is he's God, and I'm not. And he knows what he's doing, and he knows why he's doing everything. But he had something to teach that couple. I mean, King David had several wives. I don't know at that point when that happened. I don't know how many wives he had, but he had several. He didn't just have one. And you remember when God came to him and petitioned him, he said, now, son, I'd give you all these things. I'd give you all these wives, all these children, all these lands, all these houses, everything. And if that hadn't been enough, all you had to do was ask me, and I would give you some more. But you want to go out and help me. And that's the way we are. I've learned a long time ago that God don't need my help. I mean, I will say that kind of lightly. I will say that to heal somebody, he does need mine and your help. He does need our help because, if I were to go over here to this young lady right here, I'm gonna walk back here to this lady. I don't really have any idea if anything's wrong with her at all, but if she was sick and she had any kind of a problem, the Scripture says if I just touch her with two hands, I don't even have to say be healed. But if she is in agreement, just like Dave said there, if two of us are in agreement, are you in agreement with me? You and me, I just touched you with both hands, and the Scripture says you're healed, right?
Yes, sir.
I guarantee you, she's remitted her sins. I'm sure she's learned that before she come here. I guarantee by touching her in the name of Jesus, if she believes and I believe, I guarantee that whatever's wrong with this woman, she's going to get healed because God made the promise.
Thank you, Lord.
Did he say lay hands on the sick?
Yes, it will recover.
Brother?
Oh, yes, Lord Jesus.
If he said...
If he said it,
you can't go against what God says, right, brother?
No, you can't.
I mean, that's just like I was talking. I've talked to people all the time about the Word of God and what it says. In fact, let's look at a couple of scriptures. Let's go to Matthew 20 and probably the last three verses. Matthew 20, the last three verses. And I'll let Cheryl read that for me.
As they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him.
Okay, next verse.
And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of God, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David."
Okay, now let's stop and think about this a minute. Here is two men that's crying out to the Lord, "Have mercy on us." And what's the people doing?
Rebuking.
Will you please shut up, Franz? I don't need no help, okay? You see what I mean? What's the people doing? The people telling them, "Shut up"?
Probably.
Yeah, that's what they're. Is that what they're saying?
Yeah, they're rebuking him.
They're rebuking him, you know. And here, Franz, he called me. He needs a prayer answered. He needs somebody. And all I can say is, this man has called me so many times, and I have prayed for him for different things. And some of them are very significant things too, weren't they, Franz? And so far, how many times did you call me that God answered my prayer?
Every time.
Every time. You know, now me and Franz always do it this very way. He cries out to the Lord.
All right.
I mean, you know, he may be doing that internally, but what he's doing whenever he goes to that phone and calls me and my phone rings and it's Franz, he said, "Thurman, I've got a prayer request." I know he only has one thing on his mind. He wants to get his prayer answered.
All right.
He don't just have a prayer request for me to pray, hoping something's going to happen. We pray expecting something's going to happen, don't we, Franz?
That's right, man.
Is that right?
That's right.
Paula, is that the way you did too?
That's right.
When you came to your team of people and you prayed and they prayed and you didn't get your answer the first time, you didn't quit, give up, did you?
No.
She kept on. But just like this last week, you know, whenever Franz called me and we prayed, just like these two men that is crying out to Jesus. What are they? What did that say, hon? Read that last verse one more time.
And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David."
Have mercy on us. Anytime there is a direct way for things to work, if you're not getting your prayer answered, make sure that you have confessed every sin that you have gone, just like Dave said there a while ago, you go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I confess my sin. Lord, I know I did this, I did this. I know I'm washed in the blood. I know that by your stripes I was healed."
All right.
It's a done deal. "Lord, I repent, and I'm not going to do that no more."
Amen.
I mean, you don't have to tell him that, but you know, I think it kind of carries a little extra weight there that if you say, "Lord, I promise you I will be a good boy."
Yeah.
Don't you think that kind of might please God a little?
Absolutely.
For you to say,
"I'm going to
be a good girl." "I'm going to be a good boy." I mean, when your children, you can look at this when your children were growing up. And, you know, usually most of us that raise children, we didn't beat them until they was way beyond needing to be beat. Y'all all know what I mean by that? I mean, you should have beat them way back down yonder, but you were merciful because you loved those kids. But they kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on until finally one day you had to grab them by the nape of the neck. And, you know, in fact, I was talking to another lady this week about how to take care of your children. And I said, "Well, I learned from Dr. James Dotson, there's a little thing right here on your shoulder." Y'all all know that little thing I'm talking about? And when you get a hold of that little thing, and if you squeeze that, let me tell you what, if it's a child with just a little shirt on or whatever, a mother can grab that little thing right there on that neck, that little, like a muscle or whatever it is going across there. But when you get that and you pinch on that, I mean, you can bring a big boy down to his knees. And somebody said, well, how big do they have to be before you don't use that? And he said, if you can't reach it, don't do it. If you can reach that thing, go for it. You can bring a great big boy down, he says, just by getting a hold of that thing. But you know, when you squeeze them and they do repent and say, Daddy or Mama or whatever, I'm sorry, I won't do it no more. Now, you know, like I was telling the boys the other night, I said, I remember when I was a deacon at Lakeland Baptist Church over in Louisville. Years ago, I took a busload of kids to Baylor to the football game. I had a whole busload of kids and said, boys, all boys about 10, 12 years old, whatever. And I said, on the way down there, one of those little boys, he was a regular little devil. I mean, he was stirring up everybody. Of course, I'm driving the bus, you know, so two or three times I told him, I'd say, son, straighten up back there, you know, quit messing with them other boys. Yes, sir, yes, sir. And then 5 minutes later, he's pinching somebody, pulling somebody, hitting somebody, doing something. We got all the way down there because I didn't want to stop. We got all the way to Baylor and got that bus parked in the parking lot. And then boys started going out of that bus. And as they started going out, when he went by my door to get out, I reached up and I grabbed him with that little thing on his neck. Thank God for Dr. James Dodson. I had learned a real little place there, a tender spot. And when I got that and squeezed down on that, that boy went down on his knees and he's screaming, oh! I said, now, son, did you not hear me all the way down here telling you to stop messing with these other boys? Well, yes, sir. I said, why didn't you do what I told you? He said, well, I don't. I said, and oh, he was screaming. Oh, he was hurting. I told him, I said, now, when I speak, son, I mean business. And I said, the rest of this afternoon, and when I said, well, I mean business, I'd squeeze a little harder, and he'd scream a little louder, and he'd get a little lower toward the floor. I finally told him, I said, now then, this is the last time I'm going to tell you. Now you've heard me say, don't mess with these other boys. You sit up there in that ball game, you be a good boy, you watch that football game, and you be a good boy going back home. And I said, if I have to get up, if you see this bus pull off, or if you see me down there to get up to head toward you, you know you're in trouble. I said, this is only a minor little thing of what I'm going to do to you if you continue. I mean, I was putting a hurt on this kid. Let me tell you, he promised. He said, Mr. Scrivener, I promise I will be a good boy if you just won't hurt me no more. I was hurting him, but I got news for you. I was planning to hurt him. I mean, I had a hold of that thing, and I wasn't going to put up with that all day long because I'd put up with it for 2.5 hours from Lakeland down to that ballpark. I was tired of his messing with the kid, and all the boys was tired of it too. They didn't like him doing it, so... Anyway, whenever I got through pinching him, they all said, thank you, Mr. Scribner. So he knew he was in big trouble. We went to that ball game. We went up there and we sat down up there and we watched that full football game. Everything. And then we went and got on that bus and 2.5 hours back home. And that was the best little boy you ever saw. And let me tell you what, when we got home, his daddy was a deacon at the church. And he asked me, he said, well, how did my boy do? I said, well, we had to have a little talk after we got down there. But I said, after that, he was really a good boy. And he said, Daddy, I promised Mr. Scrivener I would always be good. Later, I don't know what happened. But later, that daddy told me one time at a deacon meeting, he said, Thurman, I don't know what you did to my son, but he said, that little trip made an impressive, yeah, you made an impression. Literally. Now, let me tell you, if I'm smart enough to know how to do that, what do you think God can do? Do you think he knows that? You know, think he knows where every little thing, and if I know where that little thing's at right there to get a hold of, what do you think God knows that's inside you that he knows what to do with it to straighten you up? And you think he can't do that? Amen. Just like that story me and that lady was talking about a while ago. King David, you know, he got that girl pregnant. Now, he knows he ain't supposed to do this. Every man knows that's written in the law, no adultery. It's case closed. He knew, but because he's king. I'm somebody. Let me tell you, you can't be big enough king to get past God. So anyway, God put some hurt on him.
Amen.
He really put some hurt on him. And then whenever he, and just like this lady was telling me, she said, it's amazing to think that that child, she had to carry that child full term.
Yeah.
And then after 9 months, she had that baby. And then on top of that, even after everything else that was done, God, it says, and the Lord. Is that what it says? And says, the Lord struck the child with sickness and it died in 1 week.
Amen.
Would that get your attention?
Yeah.
You know what, today, if people would get a hold of the fact that God's in charge, you know, there's some men that's out there having sex with women that they're not married to. That if they realize that God is in charge and that he may be invisible, but he's standing right there watching what you're doing. You can't get by with nothing. I can assure you, since the scripture under the new covenant that Dave talked about a while ago, the new covenant of Hebrews says that the marriage bed is undefiled. But the whoremonger and the adulterer will be judged. So that means to me, when I read that, I don't care who you are.
All right.
You ain't going to get by with nothing.
Right.
There's some of these boys out here that think just because they weigh 300 pounds, you know, and they're a big football player, that they ain't afraid of nobody, not even God.
That's what they think.
Let me tell you what. You better be afraid of God. Because he sits in the heavens and laughs at you.
Yeah.
He is kind of like I was, that little 10 or 12 year old boy that was in that bus with me that day. Do you think I was afraid of that kid?
No.
I mean, I knew here I was, a 50 year old man, you know, a hard working man. I mean, I knew how much power and strength I had, and I'm dealing with a little child here, and when I get him, and of course, my own son, whenever I made a statement to one of his friends one day that was doing something similar to that, I told him, I said, son, now when I talk to you and I command you to not do these things again, I mean what I say. And of course, my son looked at him and he said, and his name, the little boy's name was Bobby. He says, and Bobby, when daddy talks, he means business. How do you think Tim learned that? Because when I spoke, I mean business. Now let me tell you what, when God speaks in the word, he means business.
Yeah, all right.
If he says something's going to happen to you for doing something bad,
it's
going to happen. Guarantee it's going to happen.
Right.
And so, you know, if you have the fear of God in you, the fear, knowing that he's in charge, but you have this reverent fear knowing that he loves you.
Amen.
And this love that he has, he wants to do good to you, Miss Jackie.
Yeah.
All the time. So he ain't never going to spank you until you're all, most of us are going to be way past where we should have had a spanking. Yeah. Right?
Long suffering
and patient, guarantee. But you want to make sure that you have confessed all your sin. And if you will confess your sin, just like Franz and me the other day, whenever he called me this week, I mean, you know, y'all have heard me tell about Franz 4 or 5 times. You know, he's getting 87 now, Franz?
39.
39. 87. 87. Yeah. He thinks like 39, but he's 87. So. But he's still in pretty good shape to be 87. Yeah, you're not bad at all, I'll say that. Wow, he's really in good shape to be 87 years old. But, you know, when your body gets to be that age, it has problems. Because the Lord says you're 3 score and 10, which is 70. But he said you may live a few years extra, but it'll be with pain and suffering. In other words, that 80, when you get to that 80, especially beyond the 80 mark, get ready to learn how to pray. You know, because if you hadn't done a lot of praying, you're going to need to learn how, right, Franz? Now then, if we learn how to pray, and we can pray in faith, that second 80 is not quite so bad, is it?
No, it's not. But what a joy when you get a healing.
Amen. It is. Now then, when we do what God says, in fact, let me go back up here to the scripture. Let's read a little bit more here. Is that the last scripture in Is there another verse okay, put the next one up there then.
And Jesus stood still and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?"
Okay. Because Jesus is calling, okay.
They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened."
Okay, so obviously these guys are blind. You know, they need their eyes opened. Okay, next verse.
So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him.
Okay, now what did Jesus do to these people?
Touch them.
What did he do? What did he do?
Touched their eyes.
Okay, now then, let's stop and think. Let's go read another scripture. Let's go to John 14:12. I want you to see what John 14:12 says. Now, look at this. What did Jesus is talking. Jesus touched them, right?
Yes.
Jesus touched them and they got healed? If Jesus touched them and they got healed, then what does John 14:12 say? What does that say?
I say unto you that he that believeth on me, the works.
Wait a minute. What did you say? He that believeth on me?
Yeah.
That's you?
That's me.
You're a believer.
I'm a believer.
You believe on Jesus?
I believe on Jesus.
Amen. Then what he said, you should be able to do too, right?
Same thing.
See what he said. Read that out loud to me again.
Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father.
Greater
works.
Ma'am, do you understand why everybody we pray for gets healed around here?
Praise the Lord.
I mean, are we in the Word?
In the Word.
Are we quoting what Jesus said?
Right.
Stand with the Word.
Now, if Jesus says that,
amen,
we ought to be able to lay hands on the sick.
Amen.
Touch them.
Yes.
We touch anybody and let me have your hand.
Yes.
Now, did I touch you?
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Thank
in
you.
The name of Jesus.
Jesus said
he
touched them and they were healed.
Amen.
Is that right?
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes.
Now, Jesus had touched them, and then he turned to you and me way down the line and said, "These are my children that I'm married to.
All right.
These are my children.
Yes.
They believe in me. They're sons and daughters of God."
Yeah. Amen.
Now, then, if we're sons and daughters of God, everything that Jesus did, he said, we can do.
Amen.
Did that what he said, brother?
What he said.
Amen.
What he said.
That's kind of, in other words, the other day we were talking to a couple. I'm not sure what church they went to, but obviously they wasn't one that believes the Word. Because when we tell them that they are sons of God, Christ lives in you. Now, this is a mystery that was hidden before the foundations of the world. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then he said, so where is that power?
It's in us.
It's in you and me. It's in Franz. So whenever Franz calls me and him agree in prayer, Matthew 18:19. Let's look at that. Let's go look at Matthew 18:19. So whenever Franz calls me during the week, he don't do it very often, but it happened last week he did, and he said, "I need prayer." So he repented his sins. I remitted his sins. I remitted my sins. I claimed the washing in the blood on him and me both, and we would be clean and pure. And then I took that Matthew 18:19. What does that say, hon?
"Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven."
Now wait a minute. If that's true, could that possibly be real?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, so if that's possibly true, and in fact most of you are saying, well, it's got to be true because it's in God's Word. Is that true?
Yes.
I mean, it's written.
Yes.
If it's written and it says if two of us on earth agree, when me and Franz prayed the other day, he was on one end of the telephone line, I was on the other end of the telephone line. I couldn't get through to him to touch him like I'm touching him right now. So, see, you have to use another promise. On the one that said, lay hands on the sick and they'll get well, I can't reach through the phone and touch him. So God knew that one day there was going to be telephones. We didn't know that, but he knew it. So he knew if he put that little agreement, that little one little thing in there, that now then if just two of you on earth, so one of you can be over here, one of you over here, whatever, and you just pray in agreement and thank the Lord. Don't forget to thank him for your answer. When you pray, say, Lord, thank you. One of your sons, Thurman, he touched me in the name of Jesus, so I'm healed. I'm delivered. I'm made whole. Now then, how many times did he say he would do this for us, Tony?
Every time.
Goodness gracious, it can't be that true. It can't be that real, Tony. That
it is.
He says, every time you and Mary come to me, two of y'all, and y'all agree about something, anytime two of you agree about anything, it's done.
Right.
Amen.
Just like that.
Now then. Andy, you reckon that's real?
I know it is.
You know it is.
Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, it's done. Right?
Oh, yes. Yes, sir.
Just like Andy right here, of course, I'll tell you a little bit about Andy.
Sleep.
He come back here, I don't know, a few years ago, whatever it was, and he's having a sleep problem, and he couldn't sleep. And, you know, I don't know what happened there, but so we went over, getting rid of sin and taking the word and standing on the promises of God. And after we did, after he repented and I repented and we prayed and everything, I said, now then, I guarantee, because God's word made the promise,
all right.
I guarantee you won't ever have another problem with sleeping.
Praise
You'll
Lord.
Sleep like a baby from now on.
Praise the Lord.
And what happened, Andy?
Well, I learned you got to believe when you walk outside. It might not be immediate a miracle, but I kept believing it would, and I had to let that prescription bottle of the sleep medication go down and get rid of it. And I struggled mightily the first night, lesser the next night, still believing I'm going to be healed.
Right.
Third day, from there on, like it never happened, and you don't know how wonderful it is to lay down and go to sleep, knowing that you can go to sleep without that medication. And before then, I was hooked on that medication due to a pain I had in my neck a long time ago, and I had to have it just to get any sleep. And that was a bondage that I know it may sound simple to some people, but when you can't sleep and you got to have a medication, thanks to that old pharmaceutical devil company, it means a lot to be completely free.
Second Corinthians 1:20. What does that say, somebody? Put that on the board. 2 Corinthians 1:20. See what this says. Look at this.
For all the promises of God in him, Jesus, are yea, and in him, Jesus, amen, unto the glory of God by us.
So when me and Franz prayed, since we wasn't where I could lay hands on him, because some of you that are here just now, I just touched you with both hands. And what did Jesus do? Touch them. And after he touched them and they got healed, he turned around and told us, to anyone that believes in me, not only shall you do what I have been doing, but I believe you even said he went beyond that.
Greater ones.
Greater things than these he's done shall you do in my name.
Greater.
That,
greater.
Thank you, Lord.
Greater than Jesus.
You know, why do we have so much trouble getting prayers answered? Oh, yeah, there you go. Somebody said it. It's doubt and unbelief of the promises of God. I mean, you know, do you see why that God answers our prayers out here? Because we take his word. And we say, Lord, you said right here. And see, he's a faith God. He said, if you come to me, don't come to me unless you got faith. When you pray, believe, you must pray believing with no doubt in your heart that I will do what I said I will do. So that 2 Corinthians 1:20, what does it say? So how many of them?
About
343. Wow. For all the promises of God in Him are yea. Wow, is there another verse? On that, where were we on? Matthew?
No, there's no more.
Was that all of them?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go to Matthew 21. About verse 20, I think. I got a couple of verses there I want to talk about in just a minute. Matthew 21, 20. Okay, read that about the fig tree.
And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away?
Okay, next verse.
Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done.
And stop and think about that. There's not a handful of people I ever met in my life that believes that. I mean, we say, I'm going to tell this on my honey bunny. We were going somewhere the other day over toward Denton. And she was all fretting about some little something. She's driving, and I'm sitting there watching, and she's just going around, and she's just fretting about this and that. But, honey, what if this happens? What if this happens? So on and so forth. I said, honey, wait a minute. She said, what do you mean? I said, stop worrying. I said, you know, God, He's got everything in control. I know that. I said, no, you don't. I said, you say it with your head, but it hadn't reached here yet. She said, what do you mean? I said, it's not quite there. I said, because if it was here, instead of fretting about the problem that we're going to go take care of, we'd say, God, we know you already got it taken care of, and it's a done deal. And we'd be praising the Lord. Thank you, Lord, it's done, because you said you got everything under control.
Amen.
So then nothing ain't no problem. We just thank you, Lord, it's done.
Thank
you. But see, that's not where most of us lived. In fact, most of us fret about things that you can't change anything. Isn't that something?
Yep.
I know none of y'all have ever done that. My wife's the only one in this building that's ever had that problem. You've had that problem too, huh? We all have had that problem. But I just used that for her because it just happened to me and her just last week when I was trying to tell her. And of course, she finally said, you know, honey, you're absolutely 100% right. If I really did believe the Word of God completely 100% in my heart, I'd just be saying, Lord, thank you. It's already taken care of. I said, now you're getting it. Now you're getting it. So see, when you come in here and you need to be prayed for, Jesus said, not only can you can speak to the fig tree and expect the tree to die. Now, well, don't be like that woman that, you know, that went out there and they told her she could do this. And she goes out there and looks in her back window, and there's a mountain there between her and the sea, and she can't see the ocean. She says, Lord, you said I could speak to that mountain, and that mountain will go away. So I command that mountain to move in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Next day she get up and come looks out that window, and she said, well, just what I thought, it's still there. She ain't never going to see it go away like that, is she?
Nope.
No, she's going to have to speak to it and say it's done and believe it's done and then continue to believe it's done and never doubt that it's done. And if you want to see it, really see the glory of God, you do what we did with Jen out there. If it takes a year and a half, what do, Mary? You stay with it, right, girl?
Right.
Whatever it takes, you don't ever give up. Because the promises of God are yea and amen. How many times?
All
times. Always, never give up. Stay in there and do what He says. And if you will, guarantee you can get to where you can pray for somebody and then you can tell them. Just like that woman, I know we've got to take communion, so I got to quit here in a minute, but I'd love to tell the story about the little Spanish woman over at Home Depot. That little woman, she was having trouble, had a migraine headache, was splitting her head, and it was really hurting, and she was all doing this, and Dave said, ma'am, are you okay? And she says, no, I have a splitting migraine headache. We started saying, well, ma'am, can we pray for you? And, of course, when he started saying that, I'm standing behind her, so I just start reaching for her. You know, I don't even ask her. I'm not the gentleman Dave is, you know. I know what happens when you touch somebody in the name of Jesus. What did he say happened when you touch them? They get healed. They get set free. They get delivered. It changes their life. You have no idea the invisible power that goes from you to another person. If they've got a headache and you reach over and touch them and say, in the name of Jesus, and you really don't even have to say that. No. Just touch them, believing in your heart, because that woman, when she screamed at Dave and says, no, and I had already touched her, and I said, oh, ma'am, I'm so sorry. I already touched you in the name of Jesus. So I said, your headache is gone, I guarantee it. And she says, oh, my gosh, it is gone. I don't have a headache anymore. I said, see? When we touch somebody, what did Jesus do? Did Jesus touch them?
Yes.
Did they get healed?
Yes.
Did their eyes get opened and everything else? Yes, all kinds of good things happen. Then did he go so far as to say that not only can we do what he said, but what did you say again?
Greater things.
Greater things than these that he did shall we do in his name.
Amen.
So if you want to see God answer prayer, you need to believe like this. Believe on these promises we've talked about today. For those of you that I touched a while ago and prayed, those of you that I prayed with or touched or whatever I did, if you had something wrong with you, if you'll believe with me in agreement, guarantee that you are healed. Whatever your need was, it's done. God said it. You don't need any more prayer today. Oh, we done it right. And it works, doesn't it, Andy? It does work. Franz, I mean, he's amazed how many times we prayed, but it always works, don't it, Franz?
Several.
Yeah, no, praise God. Don't you love a God that answers your prayer every time? It's so amazing, so wonderful. Praise God. Okay, I hate to tell you all this, but I'm going to have to cut the service short today because we've got communion. So we're going to do communion. Yep, it's 50. Okay, so get your stuff and pass out the communion stuff. And we have a healing school next Saturday at 1 to 5. Next Saturday, 1 to 5, we'd love to have you come. We will teach the principles of the kingdom, and we will be laying hands on the sick, and we'll be casting out demons. We'll be doing everything God says in his word to get all of you healed. And I guarantee everybody that comes to the healing school, if you repent of your sins and do what we tell you from God's word, I guarantee God will heal you. He'll heal every one of us every time if you only do what he says. So they're fixing to hand out the... What are they? Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to take one of these while they're passing this out. I want Cheryl to read Psalm 91. Thank you, Lord.
Most of y'all know that Bill Wagner's got the Psalm 91 Heroes, and the cards are up here in the front pew, as well as we have a Spanish version now. Psalm 91 is God's prayer of protection, and we're passing all of these out to first responders, to the police, to the military, firefighters, EMTs. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you, no disaster will come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
One more guarantee I can guarantee you. If you'll read that psalm every day and obey that psalm and do what that psalm says, I can guarantee you, you'll never have another sick day in your life. If you'll obey that psalm. That's a guarantee from God for you to walk healthy and well with all your needs met. Everything met if you'll only read that scripture. Now, you can't go put it in a drawer and it work. You got to use it, right, Bill? You got to quote that thing. Quote that thing. Take that Psalm 91 with you. Quote it. Believe it. It's a done deal. Guarantee. If you'll take that, you won't never have to be sick. You won't never have to go to a doctor. If you'll only do what God says. Isn't that amazing? You don't have to be sick. God has provided many ways for us not to be sick. Many ways. You don't have to be sick. But you gotta get over it. Are we just about got everything?
We're almost ready.
Almost ready. Okay, let me know when you're ready. If you'll only do what God says on His Word, you'll never have to be sick. Isn't that wonderful? It does work. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord. Hey, that's a yes. Absolutely. Praise the King.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We love Jesus around here, don't we? Are we ready? Okay, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the bread. We take this bread knowing that our sickness is going away. And we're going to be healed from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet in Jesus' name. Amen. And we eat the bread. And the most powerful thing in the world, the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You pass those little cups to the center aisle. They'll pick them up for you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Yeah, just think. The Lord told us all we got to do is just touch somebody and they'll get healed. Isn't that wonderful? Just touch them. And it works, doesn't it, Franz? Like I say, me and Franz, we have prayed, we have touched each other over the phone and over other things, but whenever he does call from the prayer line, and I just pray for him, then I use that scripture, Matthew 18:19, the prayer of agreement, that if two of us agree, Jesus said, it's done. And so far, it worked every time, don't it, Franz?
It
does. And isn't God awesome? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, now then, my prayer team, the prayer team is going to be here this afternoon. Part of them is going out. Some of them got to go some places, but my prayer team is going to be here. I need you to stand up so everybody will know who you are. Sharon's back there, Kim and Scott, and me and Cheryl will be here. And I guess, is that all of us? That's it. Okay, that's all we got today. Sharon, me, and Scott and Kim. But we can take care of it. It don't take long. We don't have to. All we need you to do is repent of your sins. And pray and believe and stand on the promise of God. How long does it take to touch somebody after you repent?
All right.
Ding, that's all it takes. Touch you in the name of Jesus and He'll heal you, okay?
Amen.
Okay, now then, you know, if you we don't take up an offering, but there is an offering bucket over there if you want to give an offering to the ministry. If you want any of the CDs and DVDs, they're all free. Take as many as you like, especially those folks that are out of town, that if you go back and take some to your friends, especially the lady and gentleman from Atlanta. I think he said she listens to so many. So if she does, well, you all need to take you a whole armload to give to your friends.
Amen.
Because that word of God that worked on her and worked on you, it'll work on your friends.
Amen.
It'll set people free and get people healed. And healing is the easiest thing in the world.
Amen.
All you got to do is repent of sin and believe. Isn't that something? And I think nearly everybody in this building has been healed one time or another. Sometimes two or three or four. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for all these folks that came. We thank you for all these first-timers that come from out of town, especially this couple who come all the way from Atlanta. Lord, we ask you to bless them when they do go back home. We ask you to bless them. Give them a good, safe trip back. And everybody else that's here is a first-timer, Lord, bless them too. And we thank you for the promises of God, which is in that book. And they're in there for us, and they're yes and amen for us every time. So we thank you, Lord, for your promises. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.